Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I just want to say welcome. I'm so happy you are listening. I'm so happy God has directed you to this website. So praise His holy name, right? If this is your first time, this will be your first sermon. Several things just to note. You can stroll down and you can see multiple sermons. Also have an archive tab that has more sermons on there, so from salvation to prayer to spiritual warfare. Check them all out. Don't charge anything for this website. God, I work a 40-hour job, so I pay for it out of my own pocket. So I don't ask for no money for it. I just pray, I know God's going to use it to reach somebody. And one of the mottos or themes, I guess, of this ministry, which is probably multiple themes, is if one soul's reached, it's worth it. Now, I've said this multiple times. If I preach of thousands upon a thousand sermons, which I've been, this website's probably 4 years old. I've been preaching almost 8 years now, off and on, at churches and on this website, so I probably preached. I don't keep track. I don't even know how many I got on this website, but probably by now over 1,000 sermons I preach with the help of the Holy Spirit, because I cannot do this. Preaching is a supernatural. I always say it's kind of like a supernatural. The Holy Spirit is moving in you because, especially a true man of God, because. Sometimes I'll be, I'll study, I'll read, and I memorize scripture, and some of you guys out there have been preaching a whole lot longer than I have. You get this, and are those that have been on the streets witnessing or whatever, or witnessing somebody, the Holy Spirit gives you things while you're preaching that you didn't really write in your notes or what. But so thank God for the Holy Spirit moving in. Of course, okay, the sermons and I try to post devotionals Monday through Friday. Don't always work out that way, but I do post at least one or two during the week. I try to post at least five, but it don't always work out that way. So check those out. A few Bible studies on here. Not many, but there's a few on here. I encourage you the spiritual warfare tab that has the spiritual warfare Bible study. It's probably not as organized as I need to get it organized, but you can cipher through all the materials free. You can print it out. You can use it. I encourage that. Even we need to be warriors for Jesus, right? And we need to understand how to put on the armor of God every day, not just one day out of the week or on Sunday or one week out of the year. We need to be doing this daily, putting the whole armor on. So I encourage you to check that out. We're going through a sermon series, a teaching series in Psalms. Pray that if it's your first time listening, that you'll go down and you'll stroll down and you'll go all the way to the intro to Psalm 1 and listen your way up. Also created another tab for this. I'm going through this, and it's 150 psalms, so if we take a break, which we probably will off and on, this will be easy for me to refer you back to the tab, and the tab is Learning the Psalms, and you can go, and how I have it set up is intro, Psalm 1, and I believe that might have been part 1 and part 2, so you just read Psalm 1, work your way down. They'll all be listed in consecutive order, so you can listen to all of them. So if we hit five and we stop at five and I preach a salvation message on something that the Holy Spirit tells me to preach on instead of the next psalm we go into in this study, this teaching, this preaching, you can actually go back and listen to all of those. And I encourage you, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit has moved on me to preach through psalms is we need this encouragement, this joy of our salvation. And the psalms is real. They're real text. They're real to our life. They're application to those before us and those after, well, before us and us today, right? So, and the psalm that we're going in today is dealing with David, and a lot of these songs are dealing with David. David wrote majority of these songs, but it still has an applicational purpose for us. So, first time listening, there's a few things you can check out on this website. There is an email address there, so you can email me if you like. Just make sure you put Crucified for Christ Ministries in that tab, so if it goes to my junk mail, I can find it instead of getting deleted accidentally. Also, you can go to Facebook. You can, if you want me to add you to my Facebook friend, just type in the website. PM me, private message me on that, and I'll ask you some questions, very selective who I put on my Facebook, because just over the years I've made mistakes adding people that are very not biblical and definitely not Christian. I still have a few on there right now. I haven't took them off. I figure God needs that. And I also have a private group on that, my Facebook, which I'm very selective who I put in there. I think I only have like 12 people in there right now, on that, because I just want people that truly are seeking God and that really want to know God through His Word, not our opinion, not our biases, but God's Word. What does God's Word says about that? Honestly and truthfully, what is looking at God's Word instead of a opinion and then try and make our opinion fit into God's Word? I'm not about that. And if you listen to any of these sermons at any length, you know that I'm about God's Word and what it says. I don't always get it right. I'm human. We seek to get it, seek through the Holy Spirit to get it right, right? So last week, or might be a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we Psalms 2. We finished Psalms 2 up. It was a two-part, part 1, part 2. You can go back and listen to that. This week, we're looking at Psalms 3, probably going to be another two-parter here. So Psalms 3, we're going to read that whole psalm, and then we're just going to get down and we're going to preach on this, and we're going to go through it. Amen, right? So Psalms 3. Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be with say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Salah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. I cry upon the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hill, Salah. I lay me down and sleep, I awake, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me around about. Oh, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast submit all my enemies upon their cheekbones. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Salah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity just to get to your word. Holy Spirit, move as you see fit. Reach those that you have set up to listen to this, God. Lord, we pray for their hearts. We pray for their ears to receive this message in the heart too, to affect their life, God. God, if there's anybody here that don't know you, Lord, we pray over their life right now. We pray, Lord, that they find you. And if they ask, you will reveal yourself. No fancy language, just a true heart seeking to find you, and you will reveal yourself. You will open the scripture up, or you will send a true man of God to the house, or a true woman of God to expound the scripture in their home, or in the grocery store, or the gas station. You're not confined to the four walls of what we call a church in America. Lord, we lift them up, God. We pray over their life. Even if they're listening to this, Lord, this is an avenue for them to come to you. Praise his holy name. Thank you, God, for that privilege and that honor to reach into someone's life, because Jonathan Ritter will mess it up, but the Holy Spirit burning inside me will not mess it up. When I am weak, you are strong. I lay my flesh to the ground. I pray that your word surgically cuts what's not right. Guide me and direct me, Holy Spirit. Help me be the man you need me to be, the preacher you need me to be. Wherever you put me, God, I will go. Guide and direct me to be that man you need me to be to those that need to hear your word, through online or in person. God, pray over each and every one here that may be going through things in their life. God, we lift them up to you, God. This life can be rough. It can be tough. But we have this comfort of the Holy Spirit if we truly are yours. A joy unspeakable that this world does not understand. A hope that's anchored us through anything that this world can hit us. When we firmly get that, we're unmovable. Not because anything special, but what is living inside of us is very special. Not nothing what we've done, but what you have done for us on the cross, the blood that was spilt for sinners like us. Thank you, God, for this wonderful sacrifice, the atoning that you gave us. Lord, thank you for the resurrection, Lord. Telling us one day everything in this life will be a mute point when we're good, when we truly go home. That if we're truly yours, we truly get to go home to our Father's home. And this world just will be, all this pain and this suffering, this world will be no more. And we truly then will be living our best life. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in this psalm, in most Bibles, if you may have this kind of this subscript or this transcript that at the very top of it before you go into verse 1, that says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now you may be familiar with this account of David and Absalom. You have, but if you have not, I encourage you, and we're not going to go through it, but go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18 and read through it, where you can get the full detail of this account. But Absalom was one of sons of David. He was a son of David, one of them. And Absalom decides to overthrow his father, David the king. He was planning to take over Jerusalem, David's kingdom. And if it meant to have his father killed if there was resistance or whoever that was following him. He could realize the pain that could have that was created in David right here. This distress. If he resists, and David was a mighty warrior, it could end with his son being killed and those that were following him. David was a mighty warrior, probably a whole lot mightier than his son. Son, when you read through the 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18, he seems like a politician, not a warrior. David, in my opinion, if David fought back, he would have killed his son and those that following him, and with his mighty warriors with him, or those that were following him. But he didn't want to do that. He flees. Now, some may not agree with this thought that I may be putting out there. I'm going to give a scripture to back it. But this rebellion against David was a consequence, one of many, of David's sin with Bathsheba, his sin with Bathsheba, and his murder of her husband You can look at that as two sins, or you can look at it one sin. But in reality, it was sin, right? And 2 Samuel 12:11, Nathan, which is a prophet of God, told David, "Thus said the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thy own house. And I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Now this was Nathan calling out David with his sin with Bathsheba and the sin of murdering her husband. And that part said, I will rise up evil against thee out of thy own house. Well, Absalom was part of his own house. So that's why this is a consequence of David's sin with Bathsheba and with the murder of her husband. And I truly believe most churches in America and other countries lost sight of this. There is a consequence to our sin, our sins. That is individually or as a nation. The word sin or sin is not used often. And when the word is used, it is used in a generic form, a general term. When I visit churches or when I'm at churches, I hear many preachers, especially here in Louisiana. And then, of course, I listen to multiple sermons online. There are good preachers out there. I would recommend good preachers that I've listened to over the years. I've listened to them over the years, not just one sermon here and there. Joe Schimmel, Good Fight Ministries. Awesome preacher. Love him. Met him once in Texas. Hope to meet him again. He's just a man that's on fire for God. He's been doing it for a long time. And I love them. I consider them brothers in Christ. Chad Davison, one of his elders of the churches, good man of God. I don't say that about many preachers today. I'm very careful and cautious. They're online. In Louisiana, I can recommend local ones that I trust. There are not many, but there's a few. And I can recommend you a lot more that I would not encourage you to go visit. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm just saying the standard for pastors today and our elders, our deacons, has dropped tremendously. They're not being vented right. They're not being followed like they should through God's word. Timothy and Titus, and when you look at Acts, when they were choosing the deacons, the elders, they're not being vented right. And that makes people mad. But it's reality. It's why I truly believe. One reason God is going to, and he already start the judgment of America. Because the house of the Lord, we neglected to follow scripture. And one is many preachers in America, they don't want to be specific on sin or sins. I pray this is because of ignorance of God's word. And if it is, they need to step down and somebody needs to teach them through God's word. I don't care how many PhDs they have beside their name or masters. When I sit with a pastor in private, we're going to have my Bible out. And I don't see how much they know from God's word. I don't care about some textbook. I don't care how educated they are. I want to see how they know and how the scripture flows from their veins. Oh, we need preachers like that, that God's word is primary in their life, and through scripture, it flows. And you can tell somebody that's passionate about God's word when they carry a copy of God's word with them everywhere they go, not just on their phone. I'm telling you, people walking around with their phones, stop it. Oh, you just got controversial. Oh, we don't like this. Immediately, that's controversial. Carry God's word in physical, in your hands, a Bible. Have a copy. I can tell you in a blink of an eye, and this you might be calling me a conspiracy theorist, but the internet could be gone. They could cut the plug, and now your Bible apps and all that are no use. And I have Bible apps on my phone. And I have prayer apps on my phone. And I believe this is a good secondary source. Yes, if you forget your Bible at home, it's good backup. But you know what I'm talking about. There's something about turning the pages. There's something about just looking at the words in a book. But it's not just a book. It's God's holy word. But I want them to be able to go to God's word. I want them to be able to tell me. And I want to see the passion flowing from their veins. I want to tell you, I don't find many preachers in person that I've seen that were passionate of God's words flowing through their veins. They just look like they're going through the motions. And I guarantee you, they don't like me. I want to meditate on God's word day and night. I want him to consume me more than anything else. More than the TV, more than the radio, more than anything else. More than playing on my cell phone. More than work. If you hear growling in the background, that's my dog. I don't know why she's barking, but she does. But sin, not being civic. And I pray they're just ignorant of God's word. If they do, they need to be taken down. They need to be educated. But they're intentionally avoiding being specific because they want big numbers in their church. Yes, that is their church. That is not God's true church. That is their church. For example, being specific, committing adultery. Adultery is a sin, right? Physically or mentally sleeping or undressing a woman in your mind, mentally, that is not your spouse, that is adultery. And God will forgive you, but if you physically sleep with someone that is not your spouse, you will have a consequence of that sin. Even though you are forgiven, it may still result in you losing your marriage. If you have a child or children, that child or children may be hostile toward you. If you mentally commit adultery, this includes pornography from movies to TVs, TV shows. Oh yeah, I'm going there. We should be careful what we watch on TV. These are windows to our soul. But this can, when we do pornography or whatever we're watching that's unclean, is sexual in nature on television, this and we're indulging it and we're enjoying it mentally, this will create chaos in your marriage. It can result in divorce. It can also result in your child children having a hostile toward you. Chaos. To put a little meat on this bone, a barn research, B-A-R-N-A, research, barn group. They're a research, Christian research group. I like a lot of stuff they put out. They post this in 2020. They haven't posted anything recently on this. But they found that most pastors, 57%, and youth pastors, 64%, admit they have struggled with porn, either currently or in the past. But less than 1% recommend telling their congregation. There's a real problem in the pulpit. And sex is one of those problems. That is why we need to be tuned in with the Holy Spirit. We need to visit our pastors and their family as much as possible. If they work in a secular job, go visit them at work if you can. Go visit them at home. They'll be uncomfortable. They're considered your pastor. They should be open to you come visiting them. Now, if you're a male, I only agree with male pastors, but this world today, they try to okay female pastors. I don't agree with that. I don't believe it's biblical. And I haven't really preached much on that, but I can point you to Mike Winger. That's M-I-K-E, Mike, and then M-I-N-G-E-R. Did a fantastic study on women in ministry. All you got to do is type Mike Winger, women in ministry. Probably over 30 hours. Best teaching I've ever seen on it. Very thorough, and he comes out with the same conclusion. He's done more study than a pastor that's probably been at a church for 40 years, especially ones that are promoting women pastors. They don't study God's word. Because if you truly look at God's word, you will recognize women are not supposed to be pastors. It's against God's word. But if you're a male pastor, if you're by yourself and a woman comes to visit you that's in your congregation, I encourage you not to encourage that. Just because of the day and age we're living in, make sure you have somebody present. And I'll make that very clear in the pulpit. If somebody needs counseling, right, have safeguards. Have a woman of the church that she trusts with her. Just safeguards. If you have an office that's fancy, you can have a webcam in there to record stuff. Of course, you ask them if they're okay to record it. If they're not okay recording, then you need to safeguard it with somebody that's there watching over there. Somebody that she's comfortable with. She's married, a husband. If that pastor's married, his wife can be present. We safeguard. It's just safe to do that. I just wanted to verify that. But when we're tuned with the Holy Spirit, He guides us and He directs us. When we're tuned with the Holy Spirit, it cautions us who we're putting in the pulpit. Most are looking for seminary degrees and how well that pastor or preacher can speak, can perform. Instead of saying, I'm looking for a man of God that's on fire for God. He will tell us the truth biblically, regardless how much the truth may hurt our feelings. I can promise you, majority of churches in America are not looking for that. They're looking for somebody with a master's at a seminary degree, college that's probably already woke already, and that's not teaching the truth regardless. And that person will tell them exactly what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. We are living in that day. A man that will stand up there on the fire gun and say, we should quit watching filth on TV, the movies. We should be careful what we're strolling on the internet, on our phones. We should be guarding our eyes. A man that tells them that it's not okay to tell lies to your kids. To tell them that Santa Claus is okay. He's real. That's a lie. A man, a God that tells them to not celebrate Halloween regardless how you want to lipstick it and say, oh, we're celebrating trunk or treat. You can see why I'm not very popular here in Louisiana. Majority of churches celebrate this garbage and they'll call me out on it, but that's okay. Well, they won't call me out on it because they know they don't have no support. They just don't call me back to preach or teach. A man of God that tells them to be separate from this world by the way we speak and act. People professing no Jesus, cuss words flowing through their mouth, no repentance on their heart. All their hearts are already wicked with this world. They're looking and they're smelling like this world, and that's the pastor in the pulpit, and the congregation's okay with that. Why? Because they're looking and smelling just like this world. We're called to live a holy life. God tells us through His Word, God is holy, right? And without holiness, it says in Hebrews, no one will see God. You can see why my phone's not ringing off the hook to preach. And that's okay. My conscience is clear when I stand before God on this matter. Majority of churches here in Louisiana, they're compromised. And God's going to deal with these churches in one way or the other. And I'm pretty sure in many of our other states, there's a lot of compromise. God is going to deal with them. All churches, all these churches don't want to call out sin for what it is. Sin is ugly. Regardless how you want to disguise your personal sin, sin is still sin. God calls sin out, and the consequences will happen. David, his son is going against him. His own son wants him dead. And he is faced with his choice to fight or flee. He flees Jerusalem. So David is in distress, and he's in distress because of this, but he's also in distress because this is hurting him. This consequence of this sin that God has truly forgiven, but now he has to live with the consequence. God teaches us through these experiences. The more pain that we have to feel from the consequence of that sin or sins, the less likely we will commit that sin again. And I want you to understand this. We will have great distress in this life regardless. And I pray that it's not from sin or sins in your life. Just walking in this life. This life is hard, and we will experience the pain and sorrow of this life. We live in a cursed world, so we are not immune from the health, the mental, the financial, the family issues that come along with life. But God does tell us that better days are coming when He comes back for us. That is joy, that is hope, that is peace. And we should hold on to that. And understand that God got this, right? Vernon McGee says this in his Bible commentary, trials and sorrows are shared by all godly people, regardless of who they are and what period they live. The comfort given in these Psalms, he's referring to this one and many other, is for all God's people. Meaning there is application, not just looking at David's life here. And this song is centered on David, his distress, fleeing from Absalom, this situation. But this can have an applicational purpose to you and me today. God got this. And ultimately that is, if you're taking notes, that's kind of the thrust of this whole sermon in Psalms 3, and it'll be part 2 of this. But God's got this. He got this. Even though you are forgiven, you will still have consequence of your sin, but God got this. Learn from your sin and take the chastisement and the scourging of the Holy Spirit to correct that. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 here. It says, Lord, how increase that trouble me. exclamation mark is he's saying this out loud, singing this out loud, crying this out loud. Many are they rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in Gosh-Allah. David screams out, Lord, they increase me, they trouble me. How many that rise up against me? In other words, look, my God, don't you see those are all around me? And how many want to take my life? And Lord, do you see how many that say to me, there is no help for me? Let me tell you that when you're on top of that mountain, many will shout your praises. But when you're going through that valley, the silence can be deafening. In those valleys, the voices from an enemy, those physical enemies are inspired by the spiritual enemies. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and demons, right? Satan and demons care about one thing. What do they care about? John 10:10 gives us an insight. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 tells us Satan, and he uses demons. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That is their drive. That is their passion. They want to take your testimony. They want to take your witness. They want to take your ministry, and they will burn it all to the ground. My heart breaks when I hear a ministry and that a pastor is caught in sexual sin and destroys that pastor's ministry. All the work that he done can be look irrelevant. We have to safeguard ourselves daily. Just in the news this week and last week, Robert Morse, sexually a pastor at a big church in Texas, and if you just type in his name on the internet, and you'll find articles, and I encourage you, if you do, with this, it's hard to read. It's saddening. I've listened so much of it, my soul hurts how a man could do this and still preach for 20 plus years with that sin. And I can already tell you, and not being judgmental, a lost person can do that because they have no conviction of the Holy Spirit. That expose what kind of man, but this man is popular. But it doesn't surprise us, because this is what this world wants to hear. They choose these men with degrees. They choose these men that can speak elegant, and they like what they say, and they like what they do, and they're not rocking the boat. And then they are shocked when this happened. But he sexually abused a 12-year-old child, give or take 30 years ago. This is sad. Thank God he resigned because he got found out. I pray that he truly repents and turns from his wicked ways, but he should never enter the ministry ever again in any capacity. My thoughts on it, he will, because why? We're living in America that truly is not going to stand, churches today that don't truly stand on God's word. Majority do not stand on God's word. He got Tony Evans, and he didn't mention what he did, but I can almost conclude it was pretty bad. It was not watching a bad movie on TV if he stepped down. And it's just weird if you got Tony Evans and Robert Morris in the same thing. There's just something awkward about that. We only can speculate, but I ain't gonna speculate. It's just weird. I never liked Tony Evans anyway. There's something about the guy, but many people praise him through his books and stuff. I don't care for him. I don't know why. A lot of times when I listen to a sermon of his, and I have in the past just curiosity and listen to his books, I just something is off. Obviously something is off. He stepped down. And I guarantee he was not just watching a bad movie on TV or listening to a bad song on the radio. If he stepped down, it was something that could have been devastating to his ministry. that he don't want to be exposed. Just like Robert Morris hiding it, and it destroys Robert Morris. But I'm not saying that's the same thing, though. Don't get me wrong. We don't know what he did. We just know that he said it was sin and it was enough to step down. So it had to be something pretty bad. And they'll probably cover it up so nobody will ever know about it pretty well. So what happens? They get comfortable, right? They don't safeguard themselves from the wiles of Satan and the demons, right? If we do not do this, we are acceptable to get caught in all the wiles, all the snares. None of us are immune from the spiritual enemies. That is why we need safeguard. That's when we're getting comfortable in this life and allowing compromise in our life, we need to get away from the ministry and get that restoration before we step in full-blown sin. Get back to our prayer life. Get back to our studying of God's Word. And David got comfortable. David got relaxed. David was indulging in all sexual pleasure. And I want to tell you that God never approves of multiple wives or concubines. He never gave the okay for polygamy. Yes, America's trying to pass laws for polygamy where it'll be illegal. Polygamy will never be okay in the Father's eyes. I will preach against polygamy until the day the good Lord calls me back, regardless how the churches that will compromise and that will accept this. But polygamy, this sin, another sin in David's life, got him in trouble. God directs the direction that he wants us to take, right? He makes a choice. We make the choice if we want that direction or not. He points us to truth and how to live a holy life. But we have to make that choice because David was allowed. He was allowed to make bad choices. Does that mean God was okay with these choices? We have free will. We have choice. David makes the choice to sleep with Bathsheba. He gets her pregnant. He makes the choice to have her husband killed. And he tries to hide this, but he could not hide this from God. He could not hide this sin from God. He could hide it from everybody else in the kingdom, but he could not hide that sin from God. God sends his true prophet, Nathan, to call it out. David does repent. Read Psalms 51 of true repentance. But he still had to experience the consequence of sin. He still had to deal with the stress that one of his sons was causing him, those around him, that Satan was using to drag him in a deep into abyss. Maybe you're dealing with the consequence of your sin or sins today. I want to tell you, when we have to deal with the consequence of our sin or sins, this does not mean God does not love us. He is a good father, and he will bring out his paddle so you can feel the discipline of that sin or sin, so you will think twice before you do it again. This can range from your marriage, if you're married, to your family, to your work. He chastens us so we can grow more like him. And David is feeling the chastening of God. God is paddling that behind. I know this is lost into the to in America's society, but I remember when paddles and switches were would tan my hide when I got out of line. When I did something I was told not to do, I did it anyway. I was a very stubborn child. Guess what? That paddle, and I'm out here in the country, out here in Louisiana, and most of the people out here listen, we know what switches are. They hurt. They leave webs. I got whooped so hard and I deserved it. And people's like, oh, that's abuse. That's child. No. It's correction. For my own good. I was doing something that could cause me problems. Or trouble. Could got me killed. I got spanked. I got switched. And guess what? I never did it again. Hebrews 12, 6 through 11 says, for when the Lord love, for the Lord love, he chastens, he scourge every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son in whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have followers of our own flesh who correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject upon the Father of spirits and live? For they vary for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for a present seemed to be joyous, but grievous were nevertheless. Afterwards, yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto which all are exercised thereby. That is such a beautiful scripture and not preached on a lot. He chastens us. He scourges us. And that scourging is pointing to the flogging. During the Romans time, and I've talked on this, and I've preached on this, and I guess if you need a visual side of it, you can go and you can Google it, and you can see the graphicness of it. If you want to see the Passion of the Christ, which there's issues with that movie, but when they're scourging Jesus Christ upon that beam and they're ripping his flesh, that is scourging. Worse than being switched. He chastens his true children. And guess what it says in Hebrews 12? Those that he don't chasten, those that he don't scourge, he calls them bastards. They are not his. So we should thank God for this scourging, this chastening, this discipline to shape us to be more like him, to move our life to more in holiness, away from this world, into righteousness. Right. David had to deal with his sins. Sin with Bathsheba. Sin with murdering of Uriah, her husband. Sin of polygamy. Created him all kind of problems. He had women issues. And if you look at today, especially on man perspective, we can have women problems still. Our flesh. While I speak of polygamy, it appeals to majority of the mans out there. Even sadly, those that are in church. And sadly, even pastors. While speak on pornography, when I speak on watching stuff on sex, this appeals to men and women more today too. And you're doing that and you're not feeling the chastening of the Holy Spirit, the correcting, and you're indulging and you think that's okay. Not my opinion. Hebrews 12, 6, 11 tells you're not his. You are a bastard. If you die in that, you will not go to heaven. Well, my pastor teaches that there ain't nothing you can do to be separated from God's hand. They're distorting God's grace, as many churches are. Yes, we are saved by grace. For by grace we're saved through faith, not of works, right? It's a gift of God. There's no doubt. You go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 and 10, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. Not a work should we boast. But this grace means we recognize what was done for each and every one of us. This grace points to the cross of Jesus Christ, right? We look at Jesus. He had no sin. No sin. If you're at a church that tells you that Jesus has sin in his life, and don't think there ain't churches that are doing. There are popular churches. Steve Furtick's church, one of the biggest churches. His Elevation Worship music is big. That's his church. That's his band. Support their music. You support him, no doubt. Says that Jesus sinned. Millions upon millions of people follow that garbage. Jesus Christ had no sin. He did not sin. He had to be that Lamb of God. That Lamb without no sin. The Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb that had to bleed on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. No forgiveness of sin. His blood, His atonement for our sin. And our sins. That's grace. That's mercy. And when we look at the cross, it does something to our heart. And it affects our life. Meaning, we want to honor Him with everything. We want to love Him with our heart, our soul, our mind. We want to keep pushing on. We don't want to live like this world. That's the thing. If you truly are His, you do not want to live like this world. So if you're watching pornography and you're enjoying it, you don't want to repent of it, then you are not truly saved by grace. You're damned by the heresy of grace that your preacher is preaching to you, and you will burn in hell. Oh, this is not in my notes, but somebody needs to hear it. You think you're going to be a practicing homosexual and profess to know Jesus Christ? You're not a follower of the true Jesus Christ. You're not saved by grace. You're damned by your heresy in your mind, by the demonic doctrines of demons that have infiltrated your mind, and you will not inherit the kingdom. You think you're a Christian witch? You think you're a Taylor Swift Swiftie? You want her version of Christianity? You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're okay with people murdering their children in the womb? You may have a child and you want to murder them. He said, my body, my right, I want to tell you. You will not inherit the kingdom of God in that mindset unless you repent and turn from your wicked ways in all categories. The way we live our life matters. God calls us separate from this world to live a life that's holy before Him. All the churches, they neglect this. They don't want to hear this. And preachers that do preach it, they will shun them so they will not be around. Oh, but they ain't going to hurt men like me because we're preaching what God has laid on our heart in this wicked and perverse America of churches that are vomiting garbage out of their mouth. And many are just gobbling it up. David, heed correction, chastisement, scourging. It was painful. He's in distress here. He's calling out to God. I love this word, shalah, or shalom, not shalah, not shalom, but S-E-L-A-H, Salah. Salah is something totally different. Shalah. There's a difference of thoughts on the meaning of this word, but the word occurs about 70 times in Psalms, depending on your translation. I love how Vernon McGee says this. He says, I believe the Psalms were set in music. They'd be played by an orchestra, sung by great choirs. I'm sure that Jerusalem became famous throughout the world, and people came from near and far to hear the music, the singing of these psalms. I think Salah was probably a musical rest, a musical pause for the common layman, it does not that don't understand much about music, it means stop, look, and listen. And I really like that. And when you see this word in Psalms, every time, just stop, look, and listen. Most of us live our life so busy. There is a good busy and there is a bad busy. A good busy is being busy for the Lord, right? Pray that you are that busy. But there is this bad busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. Write it down. Use it. I got it from somewhere. I don't remember. But something, a yoke is something that weighs you down. It creates this distraction. What is most important in your life? The direction, the path, and the way that you should be on. Satan wants to keep you from your prayer life. Satan wants to keep you from reading and studying God's Word. Satan wants to keep you from memorizing Scripture. Satan wants you to do not have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to witness to those God is placing your path on a daily basis. This is a bad busy. I pray that you're not this busy. I pray that you're a good busy. I pray that your prayer life is on fire, is studying and memorizing of God's Word is on point. I pray that you practice this Salah in your life. Stop, look, and listen to what God is telling you. This is what is happening to David. He's telling David to stop, look, and listen to me. All these sins that you have allowed in your life is no good. These sins that distance you from God. When we do this, God cannot help us. He wants to help us, but He cannot come to our rescue. He cannot come until we truly have a true repentance. That's looking at the sin or sin in our life, right? In our heart, and recognize the brokenness of it. It should break our heart because it breaks God's heart. And we pray, God, forgive me. Guide me back to the right path, wherever you may take me. When we do this, we truly mean this. No doubt, all faith, right? God will help us, restore us back on the path that He wants us. And that is what God is doing. He is restoring David's path. Or working, mending, rescuing. Thank God for that. He wants to set our feet on that right path. He wants to direct our eyes in the right direction and walk in the right way. And closing all this out, it will be a part to this. When looking at this psalm is dealing with David and during a time of David's life where he is in great distress, and there are other points where he is in distress. His own son Absalom wants his kingdom, possibly the life of David. And I also recommend earlier in the sermon to go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18. David does not want to kill his own son, so he flees. David is under the consequence of his past sin or sins. And of course, I pointed to 2 Samuel on that to verify that. So you won't think I'm trying to make things up, because people will come at that and try to tear it apart. They'll have to try to take that scripture when Nathan calls David out, when he tells him his own house be against him. But he has this sin with Bathsheba, right? The murdering of her husband, and he tries to hide this sin. But God exposed this sin, our sins, by sending a true man of God, a true prophet, not these sorry excuses of prophets running around today. Let me tell you, if we brought back stoning for misprophecy, I promise you most of them will disappear. All you gotta take is one of the many false prophets a day. Just take the ones that said that Trump was gonna win that second term, that prophesied it. Take them out in the street, stone them to death. That will stop false prophecy. Won't happen, but it will stop it. Because most of them can't even die them to their self daily. But Nathan, a true prophet God, he points out David this sin, or sins in his life that he's trying to hide. Understand, Nathan, this would have been a death sentence to Nathan. But instead he obeyed God and he pointed out David's sin. David repents of these sins, right? This sin. And that beautiful psalm, I encourage you to go back and look at Psalms 51. We'll eventually get there. And when we do, I'll preach on true repentance of the heart. That'll be a very deep message when we eventually get there. True repentance. What it looks like. Because I believe many people today, especially in America, the churches, don't understand what true repentance is. But because he was forgiven, and he was, does that mean he had not to live with the bad choices? Most of the people today in church slave does not get, they don't get this. The majority of preachers in America are not going to preach on this because they want to keep their job. They want to keep preaching and teaching in that church. It's their job. It's not a calling. They may say they're called to ministry, but if they're not preaching the whole counsel of God, they're not called to be in the pulpit. And God will deal with them in this lifetime or next. I pray it's during this lifetime, because the next he will tell them to depart from Jesus, right? Depart from me. I never knew you, worker of iniquity. So you get this. David was forgiven, but he still had to deal with the consequence of sin. And I pray that you get this. God is here to help you, but you will not get help unless you want help. If you're okay with that sin or sin in your life, you're not care of repentance of that sin or sin in your life, then God will not rescue you. He will not tolerate that behavior in your lifetime or the next. I don't care what your pastor, your preacher, your evangelist, your teacher, your prophet tells you. I stand on God's word every time. Every person that goes against God's word is what he is or she is, a liar. And the truth is not in them. The key take home of this first part is to ask God to examine your heart. Ask God to purify your life. And you will know if you have sin or sins in your life. Unrepentant sin. Because if you're truly a child of God, the Holy Spirit will expose that sin or sin in your life. And the Holy Spirit will chasten. He will scourge you. The Holy Spirit will create this godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And God does put men and women in your life to correct you, as God sent Nathan to David to expose their sin. Understand, because you're repentant of a sin or sin, does not mean you will not suffer the consequence of that sin or sin. But God will give you the strength to deal with that bad choice. And God will start setting you on the right path, the right direction, and the right way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting to your word. Lord, I thank you for just pouring through me to preach the word that you've laid on my heart to preach. God, I pray over those that made it this far through it. God, Lord, we pray over their life. I know these messages like this, I know because I've been kicked out of churches preaching like this. And they will not call me back. I can't even get on the phone with a pastor to talk to them to see when I could preach for them again. They want nothing to do with me. And my heart breaks for them. God, we pray over those pastors. We pray over that congregation. I am not going to call them out by name, but you know who they are. We lift them up in your holy name. We pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit truly tears into their ministry, or whatever what they want to call ministry, God. My heart breaks for them. I truly don't know their hearts, you do, God. And ultimately, I will not be standing in their place. I just know the rejection of your word when you sent me to their church to preach. And I could feel the heat of the rejection of the message. If they could crucify me, they would have. But that's okay. You have not called me to be popular. You called me to preach your word. And if it leads to preaching at multiple churches with thousands or just 10, I will obey. If it's just preaching on this website until you come back for us, that's what you want, so be it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift those that are listening to this, Lord. We pray over their life, the things that they may have experienced in their life, God, the struggles that they may be going through, Lord. We know if they're truly repentant of their sin or sins in their life, that you will give them strength to live in the choices they made, result of their sin or sin. And you will be with them. You will give them strength and you will restore them. They may be at some point in their life they don't believe they should be, Lord, but you will use them where they're at. God, I pray for anybody here that truly don't know you, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they go to God's word and they read through the scriptures. And when they read through the scriptures, you reveal yourself to them. And through the scriptures, they can be saved. They truly want to. You can open their eyes through scripture. You can open their eyes to a sermon. You can open their eyes to somebody that walks by that tells them the good news. But they have to understand the bad news. We all deserve hell. We're all lawbreakers. We all deserve wrath. But Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ, in the atoning, the blood that was spilt for a sinner like me. I do not deserve it, but he gives it to me. And his grace and mercy fuels my soul to go out there and to do works. How can I be silent about something so beautiful? I can't. How do I dirty a grace that's so beautiful? Purify our hearts. Guide us and direct us in the right path, the right direction, and the right way. We pray all this in your holy, beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. If you need to reach out to me, website here, email, so you can email me at, if you need to reach out to me through Facebook, PM me. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram much, but those are platforms you can reach out to me. Some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you can reach out to me that way too. Love you guys. Have a good rest of your day. Bye.